Following is a paid program on 630 WLAP.
Sitting in a park in Paris, France, reading the news and it sure looks bad. They won't give peace a chance. That was just a dream some of us had. Still a lot of lands to see, but I wouldn't want to stay here. It's too old and cold and settled in its ways here. All the California, California, coming home. I'm gonna see the folks I dig. I'll even kiss a sunset peak. California, I'm coming home. Who did the goat dance very well? He gave me back my smile, but he kept my camera to sell. Oh, the rogue, the red rogue. He cooked good omelets and stews, and I might have stayed on with him there, but my heart cried out for you. California, oh, California, coming home. Oh, make me feel good, rock and roll band. I'm your biggest fan. California, I'm coming home.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. We've got a crisp fall day with a little rain mixed in. Tom's got some things on his mind, so here's our host, Tom Dupree.
So this song is by Joni Mitchell. It was from an album called Blue, which was released in 1971. And she's playing the dulcimer there. It's very pared down. It's a hippie on the beach album, and it was lauded as being one of the most complete musical representations of this age, and it's still regarded as just an incredible album. Joni Mitchell's from Fort McLeod in Alberta, Canada, which I've traveled through 6 or 7 times. And if you knew about the Alberta Plains next to the Canadian Rockies, you'd understand a little bit about the land that sort of stamped her. And you're not going to have this kind of singing coming from somebody who was raised in California. It's going to be somebody who discovered California. So just 3 years after this, 1974, by then she'd gotten a band behind her called the LA Express, and her sound had changed a little bit. So play that one. This the one from 1974. It's a song that's also on this album. Yeah, turn it up a little bit. Now this is an album called Miles of Isles, Joni Mitchell and the LA Express.
Last night I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it's sure inside of me, but it's really not my home. My fingernails are filthy. I've got beach tar.
Completely different, isn't it?
Keep it playing. Got some neat little musical tricks in it. I like them both.
I think the first one is more identifiable as Joni Mitchell.
I think they both are, but I'm not going to
My listening ear is not quite as developed as yours is, perhaps.
All right, here, this part I like. This is very 70s, sort of Pablo Cruz-ish. You remember the group Pablo Cruz? kind of got that sound a little bit.
Sort of islandy.
Yeah, exactly. A little Jimmy Buffett-ish. Okay, that's just, I'm trying to show you that. She is being recognized by some group to be as one of the most significant. It's like a musical hall of fame. It's during Grammys week of 2022. They're going to do a gala celebrating her black tie deal. I wouldn't mind going to it because she has just, you know, it's like when my friend Bill Hall went to the Country Music Awards, put on a tux. It was back in 1968 or something. Anyway.
I didn't even know they had Country Music Awards.
Are you kidding
me?
Are you kidding me? Where you been? My Lord. You've only been in broadcasting since you were about 13.
Something like that. 15, actually.
Whatever.
But who's counting?
We weren't dating back then. I would have been in trouble. Okay. Whatever. I'm trying to find the psalm I wanted to read. Hold on. Wait a minute. Psalm 57. Let's get this. We can do this. All right. Psalm 57. I need to pray this one bad today. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy in his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 57, verses 1 through 7. Okay. Kentucky 6-1. Do we lose at Mississippi State this weekend? I say there's a very good chance. But if not,
you are a scarred Kentucky fan, is what
exactly.
You are.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I'm saying they get it done.
Well,
they regroup after the Georgia and they get it done. They had a week off to get healed up and better and work on their game plan, and I think they're going to get it done.
Well, I mean, who are you? You were pulling for the Dodgers. What do you know about
sports?
Yeah,
that didn't go so well.
Okay.
It has in the past, though.
All right. One of the things that is this huge tug of war in our society right now is not so much COVID, but the vaccination of the COVID thing. It's like, everybody's saying, are you vaccinated? Are you not vaccinated? And it's a worldwide thing.
When I was on my way to lunch today, I saw, actually, by the way, this is pre-recorded, so we're not having lunch at 7 a.m. I saw a sign in a yard that said, this is a happily vaxxed house.
Okay.
A yard sign. And that's fine, but I don't.
So are you running, is the vaccination running for office? So it's like
when you start seeing yard signs about it,
Okay, let me tell you what a vaccination is. A vaccination is a supplement to the human immune system. there have been numerous vaccinations, polio, tetanus, typhoid, different vaccinations over the years that have been provided to keep people from getting certain diseases. Typically, those were diseases that if they ran their course, rabies, that if they ran their course could result in death. Almost certainly, I mean, have you ever heard of somebody that actually got rabies? It's a horrible, horrible death, and it doesn't happen quickly. It's terrible. So therefore, you want a rabies vaccination in the event you get bit by a rabid dog. Actually, had a neighbor.
I thought they treated for rabies instead of, I didn't.
I don't think you get the shots.
What about for humans?
I don't think you get, they treat dogs for it, but I don't think you get the shots unless you're certain to have been in contact with a rabid animal. I remember one time on Summit Drive when I lived there that my friend Joe Turley went around saying, we have a rabid rabbit in the neighborhood. A rabid rabbit. Well, I don't think it was going to bite anybody. But so for things like rabies, you have shots. For things like polio, which can horribly deform the person who gets it, you have shots. For things like
tetanus
is a hard, that produces what's called lockjaw. I mean, if your jaw gets locked up, you're probably either going to die or you're going to have, you know, typhoid fever, another one, horrible. And it's going to be horrible in everybody that gets it. But we've been convinced that we are horribly at risk from a virus that has a 1% mortality rate and that everybody has to get this vaccine. Now, I said something 2 or 3 weeks ago that I had studied the drug companies for 40 or 50 years. How long have I been in this business? I don't know. 42 years. Let's say 35. Because when I started doing stock research, because I've always done it because I love it. I mean, I like stocks. Well, it's not stocks. It's the companies. What do companies do? How do they add value? One of the things that why I would never invest in a pharmaceutical company is because their drugs go off patent in 18 years. Some law was passed saying that there's no way a drug company can have a patent on a drug forever. So there's this idea in our company, our country, that despite the private money that goes into developing a drug, it's basically owned by the public, ultimately. And that the software, because drugs are software. A drug is a form of software. The software embedded in the drug has to go into the public domain, and therefore companies like Teva Pharmaceuticals out of Israel, all they do is make generics. They can take the recipe after 18 years. They don't have to spend all that money getting the damn thing up to speed. They just get to take it and sell it for 25 cents a pill. Now, how is that fair? But guess what? It is. And the drug companies have to operate under it. So they're naturally going to find, how do we get a leg up on this? Because it costs so much. And all these new blockbuster drugs, they're getting harder and harder to come up with. So where is there a way that we could get around that? Well, guess what? We need a disease that everybody thinks is deadly. We need to form a requirement that you take this drug to keep from getting the disease. We need to make it free. And you have no culpability if it kills people, so there's not going to be any lawsuits. I can't believe other people aren't seeing this. I cannot believe that you don't see what a setup this whole thing is. But people say, well, you know, we want to take this vaccine because it makes us able to travel. We just want things to get back to normal. Honey, they ain't no normal. Never has been. I grew up in the 60s, 70s. You know, I saw them burning down ROTC buildings, trying to kill the cop. They were, this whole defund the police, that whole movement was going on back in the 60s and 70s. It's called anarchy. There is no normal. We live in a warfare zone, and we will for the rest of our lives. This idea that you can somehow go back to normal when normal doesn't exist is a fallacy. So therefore, it's good versus evil. That's what the whole deal is. And, you know, so people don't see it. Our side, my side, the side of personal freedom is beginning to push back. Guess what? There's people in the military. There's people in law enforcement. There's people in the airlines. There's truckers. Because the idiots overplayed their hand and said, oh, we're going to shove it down everybody's throat. Now they're saying 5 to 11-year-olds. Are you kidding me? The other thing, there was an article, I don't know, I saw it maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was an interview with a guy who was with Pfizer. And he said that vaccines, good ones, can take decades to come up with. He said, and the failure rate is pretty high. We can do all the right kind of research and find out the thing doesn't work. This one has been put together in, I don't know, 9 months, a year. It's like Microsoft trying to come out with a totally different replacement for Windows in 9 months to a year, starting from ground zero. Or did they? Did they know it was coming all along? See, that's the thing I wonder. Were the drug companies in on it before it even happened? And I don't know the answer.
I also heard that that COVID has so many variations and has for years that they had a platform for it. Is that true?
Well, there's a body of thought that says that Fauci and this other guy at the NIH actually applied for a patent on COVID. And the thinking was, if it were a naturally occurring virus, you can't get a patent on that because it's in nature. This, especially with the latest revelations that the NIH themselves even have admitted, was that they were funding what's called gain of function research. That means nothing more than, let's see if we can take two viruses, combine them into one, and make it three times as more deadly. Of course, they failed. But the idea is, what if they could produce one that were 25% mortality rate or 50%? Maybe they can. Who knows? It hasn't happened yet. It could be out there ready to pounce. I don't know the answer. The fact is, this thing has been engineered. And despite their engineering, they can only get it up to 1% mortality rate.
At this point.
Well, now the variation element. So then you go into thing, what the people are saying is that the vaccinated people are causing it to mutate. How? Because I see more and more people that are, I'm sorry, the non-vaccinated people are causing it to mutate. I see more and more people that are vaccinated that are getting sick after they get vaccinated. The bottom line is, I don't understand how it is that the people that are getting the stuff are not completely free of getting it. That's the whole point. That's why I got the polio vaccine, and I've never gotten polio. I've never gotten tetanus, and I've cut myself when I was a little kid all kinds of times. But this thing,
you have to get tetanus every 7 years.
This thing, you get it, and then you go get sick with the damn thing. I mean, what is that all about? Are you kidding me? There's something I don't get about this. I didn't get this memo. But the thing that's different about me is that I'm still relying on common sense. I'm not doing what somebody is telling me to do, and I have been excoriated by close people to me because I thought like I thought and acted like I acted. But I do think there's more and more of you out there who don't think this way. And so it's interesting.
So I guess it is time for a break. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show, powered by Dupree Financial Group, coming to you from our studios on Main Street in Lexington, Kentucky. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of Tom Talk. Stay tuned.
Is elevated.
Shortages and price hikes.
There's more. What's happening?
Infrastructure.
Democrats make promises.
It's time to close the deal.
That is what's happening.
Know what's happening.
Clear and transparent information.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
In the world of investing, there's a debate about what has value. Does money have value? What about stocks, bonds, gold, oil? A good rule of thumb is that something that has value will continue to be useful no matter what happens in the markets. So that might include things like water, real estate, food, and energy. The paper which trades on a daily basis in the stock and bond markets actually derives its value from underlying assets which perform a function in daily life that is unrelated to the markets. Figure this out and you will do well at investing. If you'd like to know more about your retirement investment accounts, give Dupree Financial Group a call at 859-233-0400 and we'll set up a no-obligation review of your accounts. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400.
Whether you're vaccinated or not, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign, and only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and cannot be relied on. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Did you know that you might be overpaying for your prescriptions? It's okay, because there's an easy, convenient solution. Check GoodRx. GoodRx lets you compare prices at different pharmacies and shows you where to get the lowest price. Here's Joe, a doctor and GoodRx customer.
I was able to look up some medicines that I was going to get, and it saved me a good amount of money.
GoodRx is helping millions of people, and it can help you too. For simple, smart savings, check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance. In 2020, GoodRx users saved an average of 79% off retail prices. Individual compensated for their time. Visit GoodRx.com/radio to learn more.
The weather is chilly, but it's not officially fall until you button up a soft and cozy flannel from Untuckit. They're perfect for keeping warm and in style this season. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked, so you'll look sharp and stay comfortable all day long. The wrinkle-free and performance shirts are great for work and the weekend. Just layer a super soft sweater on top for more dressed-up occasions. So update your closet this fall at Untuckit.com or at 80-plus stores. Use code COZY for 20% off your first order. Untuckit shirts, designed to be worn untucked.
much more of the same across the area today. Gusty showers coming at us in waves, on again, off again. Outside of that, it is chilly and windy. Temperatures holding steady, low and mid-50s. Good news for Halloween. We dry things out. Sky is becoming partly cloudy. We'll see an afternoon high 55 to 60. Odds favor a cold pattern as we go into next week, the beginning of November. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the Red State Barbecue Studios, this is News Radio 630 WLAP.
What's the next best thing to free? Half off! HalfOffKentucky.com is having a clearance sale.
You don't have to yell. I'm right here. Don't they already have low prices?
Yeah, but it's an extra 50% off. We gotta sign up at HalfOffKentucky.com. The clearance sale starts Monday, October 25th, and runs through midnight on Halloween. Deals from our favorite restaurants like Weekend Burger, Derby City Pizza, and many more.
Wow, says here there's deals on the Comedy Caravan and Renaissance Fun Park, too. I'll sign us up at HalfOffKentucky.com.
In many years of investing, I have come to the following conclusions. First of all, investing is not speculating. Investments driven by research take a great deal of risk out of the equation. Secondly, investing properly takes time. Third, no amount of time can make a poor investment a good one. We would like to help you with this process. We are qualified to do so. As a registered investment advisor and a fiduciary, we are able to provide you with an unbiased opinion concerning your investments. Call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 for a no-obligation review of your investment portfolio. Also, listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at www.dupreefinancial.com.
630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second half of the first hour. While I've got the microphone, I'm going to encourage all of our listeners to send us a message on the homepage of our website. There's a chat tab where you can ask us a question or give us some feedback on our shows. Over the past few weeks, we have been so delighted to hear from listeners, and we want to keep that going. We love hearing what you think because it helps us to develop more content that you all will enjoy. And music has been one of them, which is why we've started extending a little bit more of the music. So give us some feedback, DupreeFinancial.com. Here's our host, Tom Dupree.
All right, this is from the album by Jackson Browne called Late for the Sky. Turn it up. It came out in 1974. The same year that a lot of other albums came out, Joni Mitchell came out with Court and Spark that year, which I think is an even better album than Blue. But there's nothing about this album that's not just monumental. interesting, just looking at the notes. David Geffen was the producer. It was completed. Guess what the cost of the album was to do? 1974.
$10,000.
$50,000.
Wow.
Guess who was on it?
What's the multiple of money from then to now?
Well, New York City was nearly broke. That's what I go by. All right, so Dan Fogelberg, Don Henley, J.D. Souther, original Eagle, and his guitarist, of course, David Lindley, that guy playing right there. Al Schmidt, who was the producer. I don't know if he's Timothy Schmidt's brother. He's in the Eagles also. So this is sort of a predecessor sound to the Eagles. It sounds like the Eagles a little bit. The harmonies, it's Laurel Canyon music, which was the home of Mama and the Papas, Joni Mitchell, Jackson Brown, the Byrds. So it's a very California sound. He was born in Encino, which is kind of a suburb of Los Angeles. But this... How did I get so lucky to live in the time span that I live in and be there to listen to this music as it was getting formed, you know, and to live in Cannon Hall at Sewanee and to have people like Max Matthews hand feed me all this music, because I'm... The only thing I knew about music was Cut Corner over here on Limestone. I went in there to buy a Leo Kottke album when I was like 14. And the guy says, "Are you a Kottke freak?" And I said, "No, I just like Leo Kottke." He says, "Oh, well, that means you're a Kottke freak." And I said, "No, I'm really not. I just want the daggone album." "Okay, it's $2.95. It was the Limestone Street was just total hippie everything, and you know, I was around hippies, but I wasn't really one. Now, another thing that I've been around is because my mother sent me to Sayre School when I was 8 years old, and she figured out I could take the city bus when I was like 9. And so I would walk down Limestone Street with all the crazy stuff going on in the Zebra Lounge and just drunks all over the place, you know, bottles of Thunderbird wine all over the street. But at my school, you had haves and have-nots. You had extremely wealthy people, and you had people whose dads were entrepreneurs like mine, and then you had some people whose parents weren't as wealthy. I was kind of in the middle. I always thought the people that own horse farms were snobs, and it got beat into my head from very young that horses and horse racing was a rich man's game. Until, and this is a fact, I met my father-in-law. He did not come from great wealth, but he was a competitor, and he was drawn to the horse business and was invited into, you know,
as a secondary profession.
Yeah, but he got into it through printing, through the printing business. And then he got invited in, you know, to be on the board of some things. And he became a pretty good handicapper, and he understood something about it. And then I realized that guys like him, whom I do not regard as an elitist, could be interested. And that's where I began to get more interested. And I got in some deals, and, you have to be very careful about trusting people with your money. And this is going to, you know, we talk about this in the second hour a lot. Just somebody who's a hustler. Because you're going to lose your money. There's deals, if you get calls from people who say they want you to buy silver or to buy gold, it only takes $5,000. The minute you send them that check, it's gone. You've lost it. Because they figured out that the average person, you can actually steal $5,000 from them and they won't sue you. Well, this is what some of these other deals are like. You know, you put money in there and they always make it $5,000. Why? Because they can steal $5,000 from you and you're not going to do anything to them.
Okay, so hone in on the generalities.
Here's where I'm going. We should learn, we being Fayette County and Central Kentuckians, should learn as much as we can about the horse industry. Why? Because this place that we live in is like the Hollywood of the horse industry. How do you have Hollywood where you can make movies? You have lots of little operators that contribute to the movie making process. It's not just producers and movie stars. It's caterers. It's this guy that knows how to work this particular piece of machinery. It's these people that can put this together, can get tents there in so-and-so a time. That's how this part of the country is to the horse industry. You have all these people doing all this stuff that contribute to the finished product, which is thoroughbred horses. Now, admittedly, the industry is tilted along the lines of production, racing, make money. It's driven that way. And people who just love horses can get kind of lost in the shuffle because the business part of it is what drives it. But I've lived around here long enough. I've experienced some things about the business that aren't good. Now I'm starting to experience some things about it that are good. Why? Because I stuck with it. I didn't walk away and say, it's a bad business. You always get screwed. You get screwed when you don't do your research and when you're lazy. Don't be lazy with your time and money. You should devote time and money to things you're interested in and to developing proficiency. I'm not claiming to be proficient by any means. I am a student. I'm becoming a student of the thoroughbred horse. And guess what? It really feels good. People say, oh, what are you interested in doing? Racing or breeding? You got to be in one end or another. No, I'm interested in learning. Because as I learn more about something I'm interested in, and I learn about me. As I learn about me, it gets easier to be in my skin, which is not an easy job. Just ask my wife.
It's not easy on a lot of people from time to time. It's not just you. But, you know, that is true with a lot of talented people. Sometimes they're a stronger dose.
I don't know how talented I am. I'm not as talented as you are. Look at you with the technology stuff. Lord have mercy. Or anything else you set your mind to, you're like a bulldog. You are absolutely amazing. You do things so well. You're a good mother, sometimes too good of a mother. You do so many things. And then we got another one sitting over here. You talk about a bulldog, my Lord. And it's just, you know.
So if you're surrounded by a couple of bulldogs, what does that make you?
I don't know.
Maybe a Great Dane.
Okay. So let me get back to this horse thing, because I'm going to go somewhere with it. Our preconceptions about things and people can be so strong at times that they overshadow any chance we have of learning from them. for me, learning is what life is about. There are numerous parts of life that I would prefer to simply put on autopilot and not have to think about. But some of these things keep presenting themselves up to me over and over again to where I began to realize this is something I should think about. Let's take horses, for example. You're dealing with an incredible creation of God's kingdom, a massive animal. And I can tell you something, the bigger the animal is, the more things that can go wrong. I'm very large. I'm a big person, and I can find places to ache that you and Missy can't, okay? Just because there's so much of me to ache. You take a horse that's, you know, six times what I am. That sucker can hurt, I guarantee you, in ways that I never dreamed of hurting.
And they're also running a lot faster than you.
Oh, are you kidding me? 32 miles an hour? What would I not give to be her size and sitting on the back of one of those things? I mean, to tell you, that's what I want to do, but I'm not able. But see, I can experience it in other ways. You know, when we were up at Saratoga this summer and on the training track, the starting gate, and they'd come out of there. I just got, of course, you know how I get choked up easy. I mean, it does. There's something about, I'm nearly 65 years old. I will turn 65 next week. There's something where you begin to see your life and everything that it's been and what it is right now. And I just can't be more thankful for everything that's I've been blessed with in my life. But I start thinking of this glorious beauty of, I think you have to have experienced some things to understand what beauty is. You, if you haven't lost some things and gained some things, you don't know there's something about life that you don't understand. But I've been fortunate to lose some things and gain some things and still be here, you know, to talk about it. And I can appreciate beauty better because I know how fragile it is. That's the thing that captivates me. And I don't know if this is making any sense to anybody or not, but folks, you know, try to learn about the town you live in. You know, whoever you are, go out. I don't know. Just go to Keeneland. You don't even have to go to the racetrack. Go eat at the track kitchen. Be around it. See if somebody will give you a walk through one of the barns and just pet the horses. They're beautiful. This is a, you know, and we just take it for granted that we live here, and I'll get around to doing that later.
I think some people think it's not as accessible as it is.
Oh,
easy. One of the things that the industry itself has done a great job of doing and, is they have made themselves more accessible. There are farms that are open for tours that used to not be. They're tour companies that make it very easy to go and see the inside of a horse farm operation. The Keeneland Racetrack, I think they had some kind of campaign some years ago, advertising campaign, to make it more open to the public. So you can go to the morning works during the races. You can go watch the horses.
It's wide open. All you got to do is drive up there and park in the morning and you walk right in.
You got to get up early. I mean, because at what time is it usually? 7 in the morning?
Yeah.
Like right around sunrise when they start working the horses. So go do that sometimes. It is a great activity with kids. And I think you can, dogs even sometimes. Course not on the track or around the horses, but it's a very welcoming environment.
If the dog's on a leash, they don't mind it being around the horse because it helps the horse and it helps the dog.
I think it's probably on a case by case, but anyway, take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, and the thing that I would say is we should understand where we live and the significance of where we live and the day and time in which we live, and not listen to people that would tell us, you're part of this group or you're part of, we need to regain the wonder of being alive. And being alive in this day and time, don't wish to be in some other day and time. Grab this one by the throat and enjoy it, you know, and enjoy the fight. Enjoy what it takes, you know, to get up and do what you do and not believe lies. Only believe the truth. You know the difference. You know the difference. And if you don't know the difference, pray for help. Ask to know the difference. And just persevere and do the right thing. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you know, one thing, another thing that popped, the horse industry has become more of overall to the general public. They have a horse that recently won, and I can't remember, the Breeders' Cup or one of the big races, the Keeneland Derby, something like that. But anyway, there were so many minority owners, like thousands, and it started popping up on my Facebook page that I own part of that horse. I own part of that horse. It was everything from a local sportscaster to a professional baseball player owned a small piece of this horse. And that's what's available nowadays, if you want to look into it. We're not advocating gambling or racehorse purchases or anything like that. But like Tom was saying, know what is available in your surroundings. Because that the horse industry has really made an effort to make the horse industry more available to more people, which in the grand scheme of things makes the whole industry stronger as a whole. The more people that can participate in it, the stronger the industry is. And it's ironic we're talking about all this right now because Keeneland is getting ready to close out.
Yeah, then you can go to Churchill. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of places. You know, back in the early 1800s, they would have horse races down Main Street. Because Main Street was, of course, dirt.
That's why, because they wouldn't have been paved.
If I were mayor, we'd have horse races downtown. We might not have races, but I would make sure that thoroughbred horses got paraded somewhere in downtown Lexington for people to see.
Don't you remember when, before City Center was built, they had that polo match in that open field?
Yeah, that was so cool.
That was really nice of the Webbs to make that happen.
Dudley has... He doesn't get enough credit for what he's done for downtown Lexington.
I saw that building.
He's been one of the only people to repeatedly invest in downtown when everybody else sat back and thumbed their noses.
Well, that building, I pointed it out the other day when we were coming through downtown on a Sunday, how pretty that building looks from the skyline. It's been a good addition to have been such a hard-fought one. Anyhow... It's time to wrap up the first hour. Our financial guys are standing by to bring us the latest. We'll finish up our series on Investing 101 in the second hour. We're going to close out the month of October with a bang, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss it. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Now there's a world of illusion
and fantasy. See you in the next hour.
With inflation rising,
more expensive
gasoline,
uh-oh, fish and eggs,
bacon, threatening holiday shopping.
Oh, no.
Check in often for the latest.
Have some cocoa, dear.
With News Radio 630 WLAP.
In another ad, I ask if money has any value. I'll answer that question by saying that money has no value other than what it can buy. If you've been to the grocery store lately, you know that money doesn't do what it used to do. Investments are good only insofar as they maintain the purchasing power of the money invested in them. In other words, an investment's value is only to the extent that it makes you more than inflation takes away from you. If you'd like to have your investments examined by our team in order to discern whether or not they can keep up with inflation, call the Pre-Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturdays at 7 a.m. or on the podcast at DupreeFinancial.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at DupreeFinancial.com.